This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
That will create mischief and shed blood while we celebrate your praises day and night and never failing disobeying you and never failing obeying you. Listen to the question. The angels knew us very well and we didn't even exist. The angel said, will you place on the earth one who will cause mischief and shed blood? Did they not know us, or did they know us? Because if not even one generation passed before we proved them wrong, the sons of that vicegerent proved them right with Cain and Abel. So they knew what would happen with this Khalifa. They knew what was going to come. And they said, we praise you day and night. Your magnificence is known through us and through what you have created. What is the purpose of the Khalifa? What was Allah's response? Beautifully. Inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun. I know what you don't know. I know what you do not know. He didn't even have to give them an explanation. He just said, I know what you do not know. This creation of mine will be special. He and his progeny will be something special. And I don't think we realize how special we really are. So Adam, peace be upon him, was created by Allah's own hands as a matter that befits his majesty. And then he created from Adam his mate, Eve. And he told those two, dwell in the garden of bliss. Fi jannati 'adn. Dwell in the garden of bliss and you can do whatever you wish. One exception to the rule. One exception to the rule. I have placed within this garden a tree. Don't touch it. This one tree, leave it alone. Now, that tree is there for a reason. Allah created it for a reason. He created it before He created Adam and Eve. It was in the garden for a reason. And Allah told them, don't eat from it for a reason. But the sworn enemy of mankind, Satan, and we're not getting deep into the story because there's all kinds of, we just want to get to the meat of the story. The enemy of mankind, Satan, got to Adam and Eve just like he gets to all of us. And he convinced them to do what they were told not to do. So they committed the first mistake. The very first disobedience happened. They ate from that tree which they were told not to eat. And Allah, as a punishment, sent them down from that garden that we're now working as humanity to try to get back to. Sent them down from that garden into this earth and said, you will dwell here for a time. And when guidance comes to you from me, those who follow it will be righteous and will be blessed, and those who don't will be punished. And then Allah taught them some words, and I'm paraphrasing the story, taught them some words so that they could make up for that which they have done. And their words were, verily we have wronged our own selves. Verily we have wronged our own selves. If you do not forgive us, then surely we will be a loser. We have wronged our own soul. We have tampered with that beautiful soul that you created in us. And if you don't forgive us and clean it for us, then indeed we will be a loser. Now, what does that teach us? This teaches us tazkiyatun-nafs. This teaches us that mistakes are part of the human experience. To fall short at times is part of our nature. It is part of our nature. It will happen. It happened to the first of us, the most pure of us, the first created of us. And he was taught what to do if that is to happen. So all of that took place for a reason. And we have to realize and comprehend that reason. That life, dear brothers and sisters, is not about whether you will make a mistake or not. Life is not about whether you will make a mistake or not. Because the mistake is guaranteed. The mistake is guaranteed. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, every son of Adam sins. every son of Adam, meaning everyone born of Adam, will sin. But the best of those who sin are those who repent. They take the example of the first of us. So life is not about whether or not you will make a mistake, because the mistake is guaranteed. You will fail. And you may fail every day. You may fail multiple times a day. What life is about how you are going to deal with those mistakes. Life is about how you will deal with the mistakes, how you will deal with the slips, how you will deal with the falls, how you will deal with the disobedience. This is what life is about. These are the tests that make or break us. Because when you make a mistake, and it is inevitable, as we said, this is the point where you can take a step back and say, this is my test. This is my test. The mistake is guaranteed. Now, what am I going to do about it? Am I going to become despondent that since I made a mistake, might as well just make a couple more? I can repent from that at a later time. This is the ultimate trap of shaitan. Thinking, giving us the, before you go to bed, tonight after Isha, I'll make Tawbah. What illusion have you been beguiled with that thinks you will make it out of this building today? Who has given you some promise that you're going to make it home? No one. No one has that guarantee. This is what life is really about, is the mistakes and how we deal with them right away. Right away. Do I decide that, yes, I made a mistake, I realize it, I stand up on my 2 feet firmly, that yes, Allah, I have made a mistake, I have wronged my own soul, and if you do not forgive me and have mercy on me, I will indeed be a loser. You don't understand, brothers and sisters, that this is the biggest defeat that shaitan can ever face. Not getting you to make a mistake, that's not a victory for him. The victory for him is when you don't repent. The victory for him is when you don't make amends. The victory for him is when you don't fix what you have broken. That's when he wins, because he knows you're going to make a mistake. How you deal with the mistake is what it's going to be all about. But let me tell you something else really quickly about mistakes. When Allah said to the angels, I know what you do not know, was very beautiful. Because when Allah created the heavens and earth, His majesty was well known. His majesty was well known by what He created. His power was seen by that which He has established, the heavens and the earth. Allah in the Quran says that His majesty, His honor, His power is established by that which He created. And no one could ever take that away. His praises were sung day and night by the angels. The planets sang His praises. The stars in the sky, the very elements that He created, praise Him day and night. Allah did not need to be praised. Allah did not need to be known. His grandeur didn't need to be seen, because it's very clear. But you see, there was an attribute that Allah possesses that cannot be known by the heavens and earth and the stars and the moons and the galaxies and planets and elements and the very forces of existence itself. There are certain things about Allah that could not be known through this. There are certain things about Allah that the angels could not reflect. There are certain things about Allah that there was nothing that Allah had created that could reflect that attribute. And it is the most beautiful attribute of Allah Azza wa Jal, because He begins everything with it. And we begin everything with it. You see, Allah's most amazing attribute could not be known unless He created something that He gave the power to choose between right and wrong. Knowing that those things that He created to choose would disobey Him. And then there would be some amongst them that who would disobey Him and then turn to Him and say, I have indeed wronged myself, and if you do not forgive me and have mercy upon me, I will be a loser. And then Allah could show His mightiest attribute, His greatest honor, in that He could forgive. This is something that could not be known through any other creation than that Khalifa that he created. His power to forgive. This is why our very book starts with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is why Allah said before creating creation and made a statement and took an oath upon Himself that my mercy will always overcome my anger. Allah's justice could not be known unless He had something to be just with. You have to understand, brothers and sisters, that you are living out a purpose. Even the mistakes you make are living out a purpose. Allah is showing Shaitan, who told Allah, I will prove to you that they will be ungrateful to you. Allah is proving Shaitan wrong every single day. When people commit mistakes, Shaitan fools them into going the wrong way, and then they turn to Allah, and Allah says, look, I can forgive. This is our victory. This is our honor that Allah created us with, that He did not give to anything else. This is what made me so thankful to find Islam. Because Islam taught me forgiveness. Islam taught me that I could be the most horrible person on the planet, which I was on the way to becoming. And that there was a Creator who created me knowing that. There was a Creator who created me knowing that I would fall into the deepest, darkest depths of sin and evil. And yet He was still going to be right there when I decided to look for the right path. And willing to wipe it all away like it never happened. This is the real purification of the soul. You can't purify your own soul. Let me tell you that right now. You will fail that miserably every day. But Allah, the one who created it pure, can make it pure again. And it can't be made pure other than that repentance. That repentance is the beginning of purifying your soul. You need to realize that you serve a Lord who is forgiving. This is an attribute that the world has forgotten about their Creator. Is that He is merciful, that He is forgiving, that He is latif, that He is kind, He is gentle, He is forbearing, He is patient. This is the Lord that we serve as Muslims. And we as human beings should reflect that. We as human beings should reflect that. That Aisha radiallahu anha was told by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that indeed Allah loves mercy. And you will get for being merciful that which you will get for nothing else. And those who do not show mercy to other human beings will not be shown mercy by their Creator. This is the pinnacle by which Islam revolves upon. Tawheed that Allah is one, and the mercy that Allah shows to His creation. Because if Allah did not have the amount of mercy that He possesses, none of us would exist. If Allah were only just, you would be punished for everything you do. Every sin that you commit would be an immediate retribution. And none of us would be able to take it. We would have all either died from the retribution or killed our own selves. One or the other. But Allah is merciful to us. He gives us that expanse of time and forbearance to repent. But know that you don't have time. Time is not promised to you. You need to realize that you are living out a beautiful, beautiful purpose in this life. Not only to worship Allah, but to know that you will not always do the right thing. You will not always make the right decision. You will not always choose the right path. But that is part of your experience as a Muslim. This is why you ask Allah, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ 17 times a day, to make sure that you are doing the right thing. Checking your own self. Putting your own muhasabah into account. Accounting for your own self. Dear brothers and sisters, we live in a world where truth has become known as falsehood. And falsehood has become known as truth. The liar is known as the truthful one, and the truthful one is known as the liar. And we don't know what's going on anymore. The world is in utter confusion. And I want to bring up something that even though it might not necessarily be point blank on the subject at hand, but it is the subject at hand today. And I could not give my first lecture since these incidences and not mention it. There's just no way. It's very nostalgic that the first time I was here, there was something very similar happening. Anyone who has seen that lecture from 2007, there have been some confusion going on in the Muslim world. And this is part of our purification. We have to understand this concept. We have to understand how to deal with things. There has been some confusion going on in the Muslim world about how to handle the recent incidences of blatant misrepresentation, lies, and slanders against our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as I said before, in 2007, when the Danish cartoons came out, there have been some good reactions, there have been some bad reactions, and there have been some overreactions. But at the end of the day, and I'm speaking this mostly to our guests, you have to understand the relationship that the Muslim has with the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. You have to understand this. The non-Muslims have to understand this, because if they don't ever even try to look at it from this point of view, they will never understand our reaction. You'll never get it if you don't grasp it like this. And I'm repeating my words from 2007. We as Muslims are taught to love the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, more than we love our own mother, more than we love our own father, more than we love our own soul. Because he gave to us this beautiful way of life. Without him, there is no us. He was the first of us, meaning that he came at a time where there were no Muslims. There were no people worshipping Allah alone with Tawheed properly. He is the beginning of all of this. And we are taught to love him more than we love our own soul. And if someone were to come up and insult you in public, or insult your mother, and call her the worst names, call her the worst things in front of everyone in this room, you would boil inside. And anyone who says they would not boil inside is fooling no one but themselves. You would boil inside if you had any type of relationship with your mother. You would boil. And your immediate reaction would be to respond. And your immediate response might not probably be the wisest response if you had time to calm down and think about your response. Or think about your reaction. You might react with emotion. You might get angry. And you might let that anger overspill into how you behave. And that is something no one would blame you for. That is why there is a stipulation within the criminal courts of America called crimes of passion. Crimes where a person becomes so overwhelmed with passion or anger or jealousness where they don't think correctly. And that is taken into account within even the criminal law of America and many other Western societies, because you're not in your right state of mind. When these, and I have never even seen the movie. I'm going to tell you that right now. I'm not going to go watch it. We'll never watch it. Didn't look at the first cartoons. Avoided them by all means necessary. Because I will not allow the people who perpetrated these things to do what they want to do. They want you to watch them. Why do you think they're there? Do you think they're there so the non-Muslims can see them? They're there for you to watch them. So every click you have given them has just solidified their whole purpose. Don't watch it if you haven't seen it yet. If so, go make some repentance. But Muslims have become angry. And we have overreacted. We've done some things that I would say probably are outside of the way Islam would teach us to respond to this. But I understand the emotion. I understand the anger. I understand it because we live in a world where we're being put through so much. This is one thing that is highly sanctified. You can call me everything you want to call me, but don't talk about my mother. And as a Muslim, you can call me whatever you want to call me. You can call me a raghead, a towel head, a camel jockey, whatever you want to call me. Tell me where I go back, where I came from, which I'm telling you right now that I only live a little ways from here, so it's not far that I have to go. But at the end of the day, I can deal with that. But don't talk about the greatest human beings that walk the face of this earth. That's where I will draw the line. Because you're talking about something you don't know. And your ignorance is only showing through. Because if you were to know the man that you're speaking about, your own lips couldn't formulate the words that you're trying to put out. It just couldn't happen. So, at the end of the day, I understand it, but I have to be just. that Islam teaches everything in moderation. Everything. Everything. We're not allowed to go to the extreme in anything. Nothing. There is not one single thing in Islam that you can be extreme in, except for your love for your Creator and your love for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No limits on that. No limits on that. Unless it causes you to commit an injustice. Unless it causes you to commit an injustice. We need to take the example of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in these times. Because we can't say that we're defending the greatest human being on the face of the earth by responding to things that he himself dealt with in a way that he didn't deal with them. We can't get away with it. And I am not a person that will hold my tongue even against Muslims. Because if I can't tell you the truth, then I don't have any business doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Because Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تَقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. O you who believe, fear your Lord and always say what is right. Always say what is right. No matter, even if it's against my own self. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealt with slander himself. He was slandered. He was called a madman. He was called a magician. He was called a sorcerer. He was called things that I will not even repeat in public. He had camel guts thrown on him when he was praying. He had a Jewish woman who used to throw trash on his doorstep every single morning. He was beaten by his uncle every single day when he used to go to the markets. His uncle Abu Lahab would chase him down to the markets, beating him and pelting him with stones. He dealt with the harshest treatment from his own family members, his own kinsmen, his own town. And how did he deal with them? How did he respond to these incidences? And I'm only going to give you one. I'm only going to give you one that should clearly sum this up. And this shows you a human being who had his own soul in check. A human being that had his own soul in check. There was a Jewish woman who used to drop trash. How many of you know this story? Raise your hand. Good. Should take some advice. There was a Jewish woman. And for those who say that, you know, Muslims and Jews can't coexist, we have a long history of coexisting. There was a Jewish woman who used to drop trash. She used to take her trash and drop it on his doorstep. Every single morning he would come out of his door to trash and have to clean it up every single morning. Is there anyone here that does this every morning? Is there anyone here who their neighbor drops trash on the door every single morning? Didn't think so. And every morning he would clean it up and go on about his business. Wouldn't even say anything. Would not say a word. One morning he came out, there was no trash on his door. No trash on his door. So he was worried. So what did he do? He inquired about the woman. He asked what happened to this woman. And someone told him, she is sick. She's very ill. Now, most of our response is in that situation would have been, Alhamdulillah, may she die today. Just be real with yourself. You would be overjoyed with the fact that there's no more trash on my door. I don't care how it's not there anymore. She gets run over by a bus and dragged 30 miles, we don't really care. But a person who was sent, as he is described, rahmatul lil alameen, a mercy to mankind, he went to the woman's door, knocked on the door and asked for permission to enter. And when he entered, his only question was to see how she was. He only showed her genuine concern that he was concerned for her well-being. This is a person whose care for humanity overcame everything else. His genuine care for human beings overcame even his own personal preferences, his own hardships, his own difficulties. Humanity came first. Muslim, non-Muslim, Jew, Christian, atheist, Buddhist, it did not matter. These were human beings that were created in the same fashion that he was created, and this is how he viewed them. And they were all potential for success. Everyone was a potential success. So he knocked on her door and inquired about her well-being. And when the woman saw his genuine concern for the man that she put garbage on his door every single day, she was overcome. She was overcome with this generosity, this concern that maybe nobody else had come. Maybe her own family hadn't come, but this man is at my door asking how I am. So what did she do? She accepted Islam. She accepted the message that he was presenting because she saw very clearly that this is a man who is on truth. This is a man who is following something much greater than what I or anybody else has. So she accepted Islam at his hands. And if I were to tell you the number of incidences that happened just like this, I would keep you here for hours and hours on end. Hours and hours on end. And I'm not telling you something that I heard through third person narration, heard from so and so, from this and that. We have verified chains of authenticity to prove every single one of them. Or else I would not see them. This is the response that the Muslims need to have. There was once the daughter of the Prophet ﷺ. His own daughter was walking by the notables of Quraysh. And I know I said I was going to give you one, but I don't want you to leave here thinking, oh, that was a single incident. That was a coincidence. That was just a single incident. The daughter of the Prophet, peace be upon him, she was walking by the notables of Quraysh one day, and they were calling her father the insulted one. They were calling her father, basically the best translation is the insulted one. The one who has no honor, he is an insult. And that hurt her very much. That hurt her very much. And she went home and started to cry. And when her father, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, came home, he asked her, why are you crying? She said, Father, you are the messenger of Allah. You are the one sent to us by Allah. The best of us, the purest of us, the most noble of us. Allah verifies in the Quran, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَالَ خُلْقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You are upon the most noble character. And they are calling you the insulted one. Do you know what his response was? My dear daughter, they are calling me something, and Allah has named me Muhammad, the praised one. So I don't know who they are talking about. They must be referring to someone else. This was his simple response to his daughter. That the person they're talking about is not me. The person who they're talking about in this cartoon is not the Prophet Muhammad that I know. So how could I sit here and tell you this is an insult against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because they're talking about someone totally different. They're talking about some fictional character that they've made up. It is not the man who taught me Islam. It is not the person who is referred to in the Quran. It is not the person whose seerah I have read about for almost 14 years. They have made up some fictional character and called him Muhammad, and I'm supposed to get angry over that? For what? For what reason? Oh, they were intending to insult you. Won't be the first time and will not be the last. So we need to put things in their proper place. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said there is a time for this and there is a time for that. There's a time for this and a time for that. We live in a world right now where we don't have the position and place to put our foot down. You have to understand that. Live in reality, brothers and sisters. We don't have the position or the place to put our foot down. And the world knows this very well. The world knows this very well. So they're going to push, and they're going to poke, and they're going to prod, and they're going to antagonize, and they're going to instigate, and they're going to do all of these things. Because they want you to act the way they have already portrayed you. They want to push you into acting in a way that they have already built you up to be. And when we respond with the exact response that they want, we verify the exact statements they're putting out. We give them what they want. We lose. We lose. Every single time, and we don't see it. We think that we are showing them